School Ministries was founded in 1991 to assist local communities in the creation and enhancement of Christian Release Time Bible Education programs. While some programs have continued to decline, School Ministries and its affiliates have grown an average annual increase of 13% per year in the number of students we serve. So what is Release Time? Release Time Bible Education began over 100 years ago in 1914. When Dr. William Wirt, an innovative educator and school superintendent in Gary, Indiana, established the first Bible education program that was taught off the school grounds during the school day. In that first year, 619 students participated in the off-campus religious education class. Release Time is the only religious education program that can be taught devotionally and focuses on the students' walk with God during the school day. Today, it is estimated that more than 1,000 Release Time programs spread over 32 states collectively are educating more than 350,000 public school students, and that number is growing. In 1952, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld in the Zurich versus Clausen case that Release Time programs are legal, providing they meet certain standards. For a Release Time program to be legal, there are three core standards that must be met. First, parental permission must be given. Second, instruction must take place off school grounds. And lastly, no governmental funds may be used. With these standards in place, students can study the Bible devotionally during the school day. How is a Release Time program created? Step one, get off to a great start. The first of these steps, and the most important, is prayer. From the outset, you want to establish a pattern of worship and prayer that will continue throughout the development and implementation of a Release Time program. Prayer is not just for the students, but for us as we develop and implement these programs. Step two, build a leadership team. The second step is to build a leadership team that has the ability to work together toward the goal. If you've never been part of starting a Christian ministry, be prepared for an adventure. To get the ball rolling, build a team large enough to avoid placing too much responsibility on only a few people. Setting up a Release Time program is rewarding, but starting one of these programs will stretch and challenge you. Step three, develop a shared vision that becomes your operating plan. The plan should answer many key questions, such as, what schools and grades will you serve? Where will the classes be held? How will you get the word out about the program? What are the rules in your state regarding Release Time? How will you transport the students to your program? What organization will be responsible for the program? Will it be a church program or a separate nonprofit? What types of insurance will you need? Who will teach and what curriculum will you use? And perhaps most important of all, will you have good teachers and a good curriculum? Having the right teachers and the right curriculum is critical to a successful program. Step four, present your plan to school officials. The fourth step focuses on assembling, effectively organizing, and presenting information to decision-making school officials in order to obtain official approval to start a Release Time program. Some school districts already have a policy allowing for Release Time programs, so it may be a simple process. Or you might first have to educate school officials on the legality of Release Time before getting permission. Step five, final countdown to launching your program. Once the program has been approved by the school board, it is time to implement the plan. Implementation means completing important steps like recruiting and training staff and volunteers, generating support and marketing the program. It is important to develop a final budget and fundraising prior to beginning the Release Time program. Step six, make sure your program keeps getting better. The sixth and final step completes the planning cycle by establishing and implementing a process for ongoing evaluation of student performance. Are the students, regardless of age, learning and understanding the Bible and the curriculum you're using? Are they learning and growing? And evaluating progress is not just for the students, but the overall program. Evaluations provide the information needed for continuing program enhancement. To ensure success of these programs, it is essential that assessments of programs, facilities, and staffing be regularly conducted. Release Time Bible Education is a unique ministry that reaches public school students, many of whom do not have a church home. For the staff and volunteers, it is one of the most rewarding experiences they'll ever have.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank y'all for watching that video. I know y'all have heard a little bit of us talk about CCLC. Those steps seem very strenuous and tiring. However, we're on step five. Thursday night, we got approval from our Clarendon County School District 3 to start this in January in our school system. So praise the Lord. We have been overwhelmed by support and just the Lord's opening doors for us. It's just been amazing. Right now, I said we're up to step five. We need support. We need y'all to come alongside of us and pray for our students. Ask the Lord to call out teachers, but we also need your money. Yay! It doesn't take much. Any bit will help, and we are asking for $5 a month, $5 a year, whatever you can give, please give. I have these up here. You can send a check in each month. You can do auto draft from your bank accounts. You can pay online. The website is currently down where they're under construction. But come contact me. Some of these forms will be in the back hallway. Like I said, we got approval. We will, and two churches have approved spaces for us to use for their classrooms. So that's great news. And we're insured. I mean, it's been great so far. I think I'm covering everything. Did I forget something? I can't remember. I'm going to sit down and remember. One more thing I wanted to tell y'all. But I'm just so overwhelmed by y'all's support and what the Lord's doing. So please support us so we can get the Bible to our students. I will say this one scripture that I think sums it up. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so that's what we have the opportunity to do, is to get the word of Christ to these students. So please support us. Like I said, the forms are going to be in the hallway, or contact me. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house today, isn't it? I just have one announcement that was actually in the slideshow, but the time is different. Christmas play practice is at 5 today, and is for speaking parts only. So if your children are in the Christmas play and they have a speaking part, they need to be here at 5 today. Is that right, Erica? Okay. Also, I have a praise. Ray and Paula contacted me this morning, and many of you are aware that they were having some car problems. It was actually before Bible conference when they were going to be going out on the road. Their car would quit working, and they had it in numerous repair shops, and nobody could ever diagnose what was wrong with it. But as of this morning, she said they have appraised. She said they had figured out what was wrong with the car, and it is repaired now. So she wanted to thank everybody for praying for that issue. That is a very important tool for their ministry, is transportation. So thank you all for that. Patrick, do you have any announcements? Youth committee meeting today at 4:30. And anyone else? Dr. George?
As you saw online, the RSL College will be Saturday, start at 7 a.m. We're still accepting items. If you need us to pick them up, let us know. We need particularly children's and infant clothing and items for them. We have very little of that. But anything is welcome, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. George. If there are no others, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house today with believers, Lord. And Father, as we worship you this morning, Lord, Father, we just ask that you be in our midst, Lord. Father, I just ask that we all receive something from the message today, Lord. And Father, in all our parts of this service today, I just ask that you find them glorifying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand for the reading of Scripture. I'm reading Psalm 66, 1 through 4. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. You may be seated. We will sing this song one time, and then we ask y'all to join us the second time around, and you can stand up then.
Truly we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing in him. We have much to praise him for this morning, and so continuing our praise together, standing, let us join in singing number 103, first and third stanzas only. 1 and 3, all praise to him who reigns above. All together singing. While you're greeting each other, I'll mention it was my changing the number that goofed us there.
Okay, how many of you all paid attention during the announcement time? Okay, about half of you. All right. Okay, for those of you that paid attention, because the rest of you don't know, for those of you that paid attention, how many know what you're supposed to do for tonight? All right, there's a few of you that got, that's right, for tonight you need to, if you're coming, that will help. If you come, you're supposed to come with your favorite Bible character, not Jesus. It could be Old or New Testament, and why they're your favorite Bible character. So that's for tonight. Before we go into our time of prayer, I believe Scott wanted to share some thanks and praise and that sort of thing. All right, let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our heart. Because the truth is, Lord, we want to be able to see you. We want to be able to see things the way that you see things. And Lord, this morning we thank you for that you've given each of us a place to stay and food to eat. And Lord, even you've taken care of us through the difficult times, and so we thank you for that. We thank you for health, and we thank you for the willingness to use us to the furtherance of your kingdom. But we also pray for those today that don't have a place to stay and food to eat and clothes to wear and a place to live. And Lord, some of those that are even in our state today as they've been devastated by all the floodwaters, and we pray your comfort and peace and presence upon them. And the truth is, Lord, a lot of people in the rest of the world, they never even have the opportunity to have these things. And so we pray that you would be with them today. And Lord, we pray that you would certainly continue to work in the CCLC efforts. It's just amazing what you've done already, Lord, and we're glorifying you. And we're saying without you, nothing could have been done that has been done to this place. And we know that in the end of the day, if we could do it, it's not good enough. And so we pray for those involved. We uplift the team that has been so diligently working and trying to get the pieces into place. And we thank you for the approval to go ahead with the process. Because, Lord, we believe in your word. And we believe that the children of our school, they need to hear your word. And so we pray that come this January that you would continue to open the doors and lead us to the right teachers and to the right curriculum to put before them. And Lord, we just seek you for everything in our lives. We seek you for the things that's going on in our church. We seek your strength to be led and to be guided. We just seek your blessing. And Lord, we pray indeed you'd open the eyes of our heart. We thank you for the words of Scott and the way that that his leg is healing. But Lord, it reminds us of the great importance we have to pray and to pray for each other. So this morning, we do pray for those in our bulletin. We pray for those that are listed, for Jane Floyd and for Carol Ann Griffith and for Lila Wingard and Francis Watts and Matthew Kozak. We pray for Ralph and Julie Watts and Gus Green and Justin Saffer and Clyde Baird and Ronnie and Miss Mary Ruth Green. We pray for Carol Lane and for Julian Gamble and for Travis Atkinson. We pray for Miss Juliet Osborne and Jim and Felicia Rudder and Florence Kozak and Charlton Coker, and for Lois Ann Coker and for Vera May Coker and for Donald Coker and for Kelly Deering and for Scott. We continue to pray for him and for Miss Betty Jo. Lord, we count it a privilege to uplift these names before you because we know that, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. And Lord, we also pray that you'd open the eyes of our hearts so that we would be more willing to confess the sin that is in our lives. That you would help us, Lord, to better embrace your will for our lives. And so at the end of the day, Lord, as we've gathered ourselves together to worship you, we pray that we will leave here so much differently than when we arrived. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, the one's singing, don't come here quite yet. Let's make sure we get everything hooked up correctly down here. Yeah, please.
One more thing. Christian, we're having a prayer walk in Manning today. We're meeting here at 3 o'clock. It starts at 4. Also, I don't know if you read the slide. Harvest party is this Wednesday. Yay! Starts at 5:30. If you're volunteering, please come at 5 so you can get you a hot dog and get in your station. And Mary Lane will be contacting you this week probably with how you can help. Thank you.
All right. Before the young people come up here and sing, I'm gonna read scripture. And then they can come on up here. The young ones, y'all need to stand right here at the altar like y'all did with Miss Lynn's group. And the older kids come up here. And Mr. Mike, it's coming through the computer, so you might want to, I don't know how loud it will come out, so just play it by ear. All right, 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. 1 John 4:4. All right, young people, come on up. Young ones are down here. Young ones, go ahead and stay down there. Young ones. And the teenagers and middle school kids up here. You know, yes. He's great. We do. Hey, Tony. Yeah, it's up there.
Just wait a second.
Thank you, Patrick, and the youth. If our ushers will come down this morning to receive our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day, Lord. Father, you've entrusted us with much, Lord. And Father, as we give back this portion of what you've given us, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you use it to further your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Plans are that every third Sunday in our Youth Sunday service, the youth singers, as they're called at this time, will be blessing us with numbers like they did this morning. Praise the Lord for our young people. Praise the Lord for all of you, part of the Church of God. Let's turn together and sing hymn number 464. While we sing this, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship. And right before the message, Bonnie and Brianne will be coming sharing a special. Let us stand together and praise the Lord, Shepherd of Love, and let's sing unto his name. Thank you, church, and you may be seated. Bonnie and Brianne.
I just wanted to say something real quick for the song we're about to sing. It's about angels, and like Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And I know all of us, you know, just like in my own life this year, I've had several angels, and a lot of you have been angels to me, and encouragement and prayer. And one of these angels gave me this verse, and it helped me tremendously, and it got me through. And it's 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I can't say that everything's okay. 'Cause I can see the tears you're crying, and I can't promise to take the pain away, but you can know I won't stop trying. I'll be the angel by your side. I will get you through the night. I'll be the strength you can provide on your own. 'Cause when you're down and out of time, and you think you've lost the fight, let me be the angel, the angel by. It feels like you're running out of faith, 'cause it's so hard to keep believing. But if I can bring a smile back to your face, if for a moment you forget all about it, I'll be the angel by your side. I will get you through the night. I'll be the strength you can provide on your own. 'Cause when you're down and out of time, and you think you lost the fight, let me be the angel by your side. 'Cause this won't be the last time you'll need a little hope, but I wanna be the first to let you know. I'll be the angel by your side. I will get you through the night. I'll be the strength you can't provide on your own. 'Cause when you're down and out of time, and you think you lost the fight, let me be the angel by your side. Let me be the angel by your side. The angel by your side.
Thank you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Bless you, brother.
Kind of amazed when I got to checking and found out that the children's magazine Highlights is still out there. Out there when I was a kid, so it's been around a while, okay? And one of my favorite things to do in that magazine was, what's wrong with this picture? Now, I wasn't sure I could show you one of those and be within all the legality, so I've got one up here, though, all right? And you've seen these, right? You go through and you circle or you identify those things in the picture that's not right. Now, in the one I'm holding, there is a giraffe with earphones. There's a leopard with sunglasses. If you look close, even though it's a summer scene, there's a Santa Claus walking around. And there's a bunch of other what's wrong with this picture in here, okay? So you get the idea. You know, sometimes you look at something, and I mean, you just know that's not right. That's not the way it ought to be. Other times you look at something and you say, you know, I know something's wrong with this picture. I can't really put my finger on it, but I know something's not right. Well, as much as being a children's game, as I began to think of about what's wrong with this picture, I began to realize that's a pretty probing question that we can ask and delve into on a lot of different topics. I mean, what's wrong with this picture, right? I, I wonder, now I know this church was probably a picture of a church taken, you know, for some other reason, but what's wrong with an empty church? I mean, there's something wrong with when a church is empty. In fact, just again this week, more research, 9 out of 10 churches in America. 9 out of 10 are in decline or not growing at all. They're just treading water. 9 out of 10, folks, what's wrong with that picture, right? Because I think we live a risen Savior who's in the world today, right? He's alive. And he's powerful. The kids sung about how that he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. What's wrong with this picture that churches are declining today? 9 out of 10. I don't know about you, but that burdens my heart. And I don't understand it. I mean, Jesus said the gates of hell should not prevail against you. His power is sufficient, right? What's wrong with this picture? And so we try to explain it, right? We've got to figure it out. Well, the times have changed. Circumstances have changed. And I believe that's a cop-out, quite frankly. Because as far as I understand it, people in every single age throughout all of history needs the Lord Jesus in their life. So what's wrong? Maybe it's God's fault. Let's blame God for a while. Maybe God's in power depletion today. You know, God had the power to part the Red Sea. But maybe, you know, that took it out of him. And it's just not as strong as it used to be. Or maybe God's just tired of being a tour guide. You know, he led the Hebrews out of Egypt with a cloud in the sky by day and a pillar of fire in the sky by night. Maybe he's just tired of it. Maybe he's just tired of leading us and guiding us through life. Or maybe the cross really isn't that big a deal. Or maybe all this talk about being a new creation really is just that, just talk. Maybe we aren't really that different after all. Because when you start reading around, you realize that in so many cases, the moral and ethical choices that Christians make versus the choices that non-Christians make, there's not that big of a difference. Being born again, though, that's supposed to be different. That's supposed to change. That's radical. Man, people ought to be able to look at us walking and say, that's a Christian, and yet at work they say that pilfering supplies is no different from a Christian and a non-Christian. Everybody's taking stuff and thinking, get away with it. Calling in sick when you're not sick. No difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. And that's lying and stealing. And yet, nobody, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture? And if salvation is really so good, and Jesus is really so right, why are so many people today, why do they want nothing to do with Jesus? So yeah, Lord, open the eyes of our heart. Open our eyes so that we can see what's going on. Now, the truth is, Jesus had a powerful way of turning things upside down. Remember, you know, this talk about, you know, if you want to be first, you got to be last. It's like, what's up with that, really? Or if you want to be great, you got to be a servant. And everybody knows the servant isn't as great as somebody getting served, but Jesus said it was. Well, Jesus did the same thing in those blessed R's that Matthew recorded for us. You know, we call them the Beatitudes. Blessed, and I want to be blessed, right? I think we all want to be blessed. I think we should. Blessed to be happy, envied, you know, good. It's good. Being blessed is a lot better than being cursed, right? And yet when I read about a couple of these blessed R's, it's like, ooh, Jesus, think about that. Blessed if you're poor, blessed if you're mourning, blessed if you're persecuted, I don't know. And yet Jesus said, blessed are. Please stand for the reading of our text this morning that will be found in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 3, starting there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. Now, I got to tell you, I wish we could unpack them all, but we can't this morning, right? All right? But there is one I want to look at in depth. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, I want to see God this morning. Man, and isn't sight a beautiful thing? When you stop and think about our eyes, I mean, how amazing are our eyes? I mean, durable and fragile all at the same time, right? I mean, we keep our eyes open a lot of times way too long. We'll sit there and rub our eyes like crazy, and they take it all, right? But so fragile on the other end of the spectrum, because if you get just a speck of something in there that's not supposed to be in there, it don't have to be big, mind you. Your eyes water and it's hurting, and you know it's got, whatever it is, it's got to get out of there, right? Our eyes are simply amazing. To think how sight enriches our lives. I mean, it's one thing to read about something. And I got to tell you, some people have a way of writing that you can almost picture what they're saying, right? But it's still not the same as seeing it. I mean, that's why the old adage is true. A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? And so you're all saying, show us a lot of pictures and cut this thing off. I know. How many of y'all ever been to the Grand Canyon? All right, just a few of you. How many of y'all have ever heard of the Grand Canyon? Some of you folks really need to get out and read some stuff, because some of you didn't raise your hand. The Grand Canyon is pretty cool, okay? All right, it's described in this way. Grand Canyon National Park, a World Heritage, encompasses 1,218,375 acres and lies on the Colorado Plateau in northwestern Arizona. The land is semi-arid and consists of raised plateaus and structural basins typical of the southwestern United States. Drainage systems have cut deeply through the rock, forming steep-walled canyons. Forests are found at the higher elevations, while the lower elevations are comprised of a series of desert basins. And it kind of goes on and describes the Grand Canyon. That's pretty impressive, right? But I got to tell you, it's another thing to see it. Now, I've never been to the Grand Canyon in person. And so when I started looking at some of the things that show me the Grand Canyon, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, how amazing is the Grand Canyon, all right? And I've got to believe that if you were there and there were, I don't know, 8 or 9 of you that raised your hands, and I know right now you're saying, yeah, and those pictures don't even come close to doing justice to how magnificent and awesome the Grand Canyon is. Well, folks, it's good to read about God. I mean, it's really good to read about God. It's good to hear other people tell us about God and about the way that God is working in their lives. But it means a whole lot more when we begin to see and experience God in our own lives. Man, I want to see God. I want to see the power of God at work in my life. I want to see Him doing to me things that I know He can't, that no one else can do. I want to see the opportunities that He's giving to me as one of His children. I want to see God because I want to follow God. I want to be so close to God, to Jesus, that if He slows down, I'm bumping into Him. But the reality is, I know that's not always me, but I want to see Him. I want to see Him. I want to see the power of God in work in the church again, like it used to be. I want to believe that the church can be full and growing and reaching people and transforming the United States of America yet again. And I want to believe that I would answer the question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus. I want to believe that I would say the same thing that Bart said when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see. I want to see, Lord. prophecy. To what Bartimaeus said, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples, you know, have faith in God. I mean, we've got to have faith, you know, in order for us to truly see the things of God. And so it's like, yeah, Lord, give me faith, Lord, because I need to see better than I'm seeing today. And I got to tell you, when you're around people with this 20/20 spiritual vision, man, I mean, they're seeing things the rest of us don't. It's fun to be around people that are seeing through faith, right? And so, yes, Lord, increase our faith to the point that we'll take the risk and put our full weight down. It's kind of like the 75-year-old man. I mean, he was always enthralled with aviation and flying, but he'd never, ever flown. And so his children and his grandchildren, even his great-grandchildren, they got together on his birthday and paid a local pilot to take him up and fly him around the area that he had always grown up in, all of his life. He'd never been away from there. And so they go up, they're gone 45 minutes now, whatever it is, they got the pilot to take him, and he comes back. And I mean, this old guy's grinning ear to ear, right? And they're saying, how was he, man? He said it was great. And one of his grandchildren said, yeah, but were you afraid a little bit? And with a long drawled out, no, but I didn't put my full weight down either. I want the kind of faith that will put my full weight down, believing and knowing that the Jesus that has got me by the hand is never going to drop me. Look, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know the hope that is within you. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, I want to not only be blessed, I want to see. But try as we might, and here's the rub, right? I mean, think about what Jesus said. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's just it. We're not pure. We might be good compared to some other folks, although statistically it doesn't say that we're much better than anybody else. We might be more moral, though again, that's not always the case. We might even be more religious. You know, we throw some bucks in the offering plate when they stick it down the aisle there for us. Or we might even show up for Sunday school a little bit. We might do those religious things, you know, the things that we do, but we aren't pure. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that what Isaiah the prophet said, we know that it's absolutely spot on this morning. He said that all of our righteous acts, the best that we got, is nothing more than filthy rags before a just, holy, and righteous God. Man, no wonder we can't see God, right? Our sin is out there, and it keeps us from seeing everything that God wants us to see. It blurs us, right? Did you know that in the middle of the Milky Way solar system, you know, our solar system, and by the way, man, I mean, how many are there out there? I mean, God is a big God when he created this thing, right? In the middle of our solar system there's this thing called the Pistol Star, and it's huge, huge. In fact, that's a picture of it. I mean, it encompasses, and I really can't get my mind around, it encompasses the full orbit that the Earth would have around the sun. That's how big it is. I mean, so it just dwarfs our star, right? Our sun just dwarfs it. And literally, because it's that massive, we ought to be able to see it, but we can't. Now, you say, well, there's a picture. Somebody saw it. Yeah, well, that was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope, and it was taken with an infrared because it could penetrate this great cloud of what they call cosmic dust. The star's out there. And it's big enough and bright enough, we ought to be able to see it. But because of all that cosmic dust, we can't. Well, folks, sin is just that. It is a spiritual cosmic dust that keeps us from seeing God. It keeps us from seeing what God wants us to see and the way that he wants us to see. But we are blessed today, folks. We're blessed, And even though on our own efforts, all of our righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags before God, we can be pure today. Not by anything we have done, but by the thing that Christ has done for us, folks. That's what the cross is about, right? That's where Jesus did all of our dirty laundry. And that's why we can be pure and as clean as the snow. On the cross, he took our sin. But we've got a choice to make. We have to choose it. I mean, yes, it says, you know, that he'll forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Yes, he'll do all that, but we've got to make the choice to confess and repent. He'll do it if we'll choose him, but it's up to us. See, we can be pure. Not in anything we've done, but in the thing that Christ has done for us. But there's a lot of people today that apparently, because we look like those that have never been to Calvary, you know, there's a lot of people out there today, they want forgiveness without repentance, and it doesn't work that way. Did I say that too fast? Let me slow down. Some people want forgiveness without repentance, but it does not work that way. We've got to choose. We've got to choose to let Christ make us pure. I want to see. So why is it so many people are passing? I mean, what's wrong with that picture that so many people are passing on Jesus? Why do so many Christians look like they've never been born again in the first place? Why don't we see? And it's like, well, we want to see, right? And I think the answer today is, well, kind of yes and no. Man, we want to see. We know that it's good, but we know that when we get real close to God, we get real uncomfortable. We start squirming because all of a sudden we see how holy and righteous God is, and we know how much that we aren't, and so we squirm. And one of the two things happens when we're confronted with who we are. All right, we're either going to cry out mercy. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We're going to cry mercy, or we're going to begin to walk away. I want to see. I mean, is seeing really all it's cracked up to be? I believe that it is. I believe that as we see God, that indeed the blessedness that Jesus spoke about, blessed are the pure in heart, right? When we're blessed, we're to be envied. It's a powerful and beautiful thing. I mean, the things that we begin to see because we will see Jesus. And the truth is, someday, everybody's going to see. Someday, every knee is going to bow. Now, some of those knees are going to be bowing out of fear and dread because they're going to know that they refused. They refused to see God because they refused to let Christ into their life. And in that moment, they're going to realize what a terribly bad choice that was. And it's an eternal choice. And the others bowing that day, well, we'll be bowing in worship, in reverence. And a thankfulness so rich and powerful because we will know that Christ has made us pure and whole. So the choice is ours this morning. I want to see. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, this morning, we realize how much that we need you. And, Lord, we confess that we probably our own selves played around with our commitment with you rather than getting serious about it. And we ask for your forgiveness and your cleansing. Lord, we want to be able to see you and to see the things you have, not only for our lives, but the way that you want to use our lives to make a difference. Oh God, this day, may we embrace you through repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
Joining together, let's turn to number 387. you're here this morning, there's a need in your heart. It may be for salvation or just a closer walk with Jesus. We invite you to come to the altar of surrender to him. Oh, to be like thee. Sing it prayerfully. Sing it as a commitment to our Lord.
They always say sometimes you see what you're looking for. And there's some truth to that. By God's grace, let's look to the Lord.
Be like Jesus. Benedictory chorus together. Be like Jesus, this is my song. May that be true as we leave the sanctuary of fellowship together. People said, amen. And with that, you are dismissed, and God bless you till we meet again.